We now continue our special interviews to remember the outbreak of the Korean War 67 years ago, June 25th, 1950. And a story of hope and unity told through a documentary titled 9/38. We've got the director, Catherine Lee, right alongside me in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
9/38. Juilliard-trained violinist Won Hyung-jun, pursuing a dream of holding a first ever joint concert by musicians from both Koreas near the 38th parallel. Immediately fascinating. But can you tell us the title, 9/38, what that's all about?
Sure. The 9 refers to Beethoven's 9th symphony. That's okay. The piece that they are wanting to perform together. And the 38th is, of course, as you just alluded to, the 38th parallel, the border between the two Koreas.
And we're talking about Won Hyung-jun. What is the significance of trying to perform this particular piece of music, Beethoven Symphony No. 9?
Right. So when I interviewed him when we were in production, he actually gave three reasons for choosing the 9th. The first, which we do include in the film, is that the lyrics of Ode to Joy speak of brothers who are separated and then ultimately reunited. So, you know, can you think of anything more applicable to the Korean Peninsula? And he has family separated by the Korean War, as do I, as do so many of us. And so I think this speaks to us in a very direct way. But two other reasons he gave are, one, you know, this piece was played a lot also surrounding the fall of the Berlin Wall when East and West Germany unified. And last but not least, you know, Won Hyung-jun is a musician. That is who he is. You know, he's not a politician or a policy wonk or anything like that. So when he looks at a piece like the 9th, which was composed by Beethoven after he already started to go deaf, you know, it's a miracle to him. I mean, how can you compose such an orchestral masterpiece without even being able to hear the actual sound of what you're putting on paper? And so he always said, if that kind of miracle is possible, you know, and I'm sure people around him told him at the time that that wasn't possible, then, you know, why can't I try to do this thing that kind of seems ridiculously impossible as well, to try to do a joint concert at the border? And, you know, a lot of, so many people over 7 years have told him that it's not possible or have laughed in his face. But I just, you know, regardless of what you think about what he's trying to do or whether it is kind of, you know, realistic or not, I think that kind of persistence and optimism is something we direly need.
And we've seen flashes of cooperation, which have been awe-inspiring. We've seen, obviously, family reunions as well, heartbreakingly brief, but when the Koreas do get it together, there's been that little seed of optimism planted. And for you, yourself, drawn into that personally, also as a filmmaker, as an international policy researcher focusing on various North Korean issues, are these all the motivations that you needed, I guess, to make this film?
Sure, you did your homework on me. I didn't know.
Well, we have a whole team of helpers as well, but it's easy to be inspired by that, I'd imagine.
I mean, if I may digress slightly, just to talk about why I began documentary filmmaking.
Yeah.
Because my, you know, academic training and foremost profession was in policy work, and I've been an international development worker for a decade. And as I was going around to all these villages and countries, I saw more and more clearly that why projects and policies fail, it's not because there's a technical gap, but just people are not moved emotionally. And I think that what causes sustaining behavior change, you know. I mean, that's human psychology. And so I really felt that storytelling was needed when you have these situations where people feel like there's an us versus them for whatever lines of division, you know, often it's gender or religion or race or lines in the ground. I'm actually in 3 days taking off to direct another independent film about, and this one's going to be in Africa, about intertribal war in South Sudan. And
wow,
this story fell into my lap as well, but, you know, it's actually sort of Won Hyung-jun in a South Sudanese lost boy form. There's, you know, a man I know who's trying to do something about that through, you know, human connection. So I think these, you know, transcending the geopolitics of things like this, I think people need to form empathy, and that's how most sustaining change happens, and that's why I began documentary making, and then this fell into my lap.
I mean, just dealing with one of those geopolitical questions just briefly here, one of the main concerns I have with the separated family members and the division of the Koreas is that we have this moment, and it's a moment that maybe lasts a few years, but once that's gone, once the new generations feel increasingly distanced from North Korea, there'll be less appetite for unification and less appetite to bring together those family members. Is that also one of your concerns?
Absolutely. And I think that's why there's so many reasons that I feel like this movie needs to get out there as soon as possible. And as indie filmmakers, you're always trying to make that happen versus, you know, constraints of resources and finances. But exactly as you said, you know, these people are passing away every day. And even in the film, you know, the viewer can see there is a lot of apathy, or there in Korea, there's so much lip service, right, to the ideas of reunification and the tragedy of division. But for how many people is it more than lip service? I'm not too sure.
Yeah, well, we definitely talk about it very casually. There's no doubt. I mean, even in the news sphere, we can talk about these issues in quite a cold way. And as you said, an opportunity to go deeper than that into a documentary like this, you can't not be moved.
I mean, I have to say, for me, I mean, reunification is an issue really dear to many people, especially people who, you know, have family in the North. Or I work a lot with North Korean defectors. I mean, they cannot reunite with their family back north until there is unification, right? Because they've come this way now. But even without thinking about reunification, I think soft power is a very powerful thing. And so, I mean, I've worked a lot on issues of human rights in North Korea. I think even when you want to broach issues like that, you know, you have to think about the long term. And I do think things like this are actually incremental steps that, you know, help towards addressing all the different issues of trying to improve lives on the Korean Peninsula.
We would love to, I'm sure, check out this documentary. Anyone listening who's being inspired by what you've had to say, how can they do so?
They can do so by going to www.9at38.com. First of all, I mean, that will have information as there are updates. So we're still in post-production, but that's coming to a close soon, we hope. We still have to have, you know, a score, because soundtrack for a movie like this is very important, as you can imagine, you know, sound correction, color correction. You know, we would invite anyone who, I don't know if I'm allowed to say things like this, who want to partner with us or support us, they're very welcome to go to our website and get in touch, because we do need that to bring this to completion. But we do have exciting plans with, you know, different avenues where we have been invited to screen this, and I will save those until they are confirmed, but pretty exciting international events. The rest of my team is international, based in other countries, so we are really trying to show this globally, because I think the message is universal.
9at38.com, that's the numericals 9 and then at 38.
Yes, the number 9at38.com.
Yeah, well, we would love it, I'm sure, if somebody who's listened to this interview right now came along and gave you the backing you need to take it to the next level. So thank you for sharing that message. And remember, as we mark this occasion, June 25th, 67 years ago, when that conflict started, it all looks set in stone in hindsight, of course, but people didn't realize they were going to be separated for so long, presumably, and maybe never ever again meet again. This is the sort of movement that will hopefully draw enough potential emotion, that sort of momentum politically, to make a difference, even if it is those fleeting reunions that we've seen in the past. If you want to share your messages of support there, or get in touch with us on any of this, #1013 for 51 per message. And thanks again, Catherine Lee, director of documentary 9 at 38.
Thanks so much, Alex.